Exactly right. It's a wonderful thing for us to be assembled here at Union Church this morning. After a week back in the classroom, I don't know if Sunday would ever get here. I have a deeper appreciation for those whose job it is to instruct our children. And Sister Ramona, I don't know if it's a correct medical term or not, but I discovered that I had a mild case of retirement lethargy. I don't know if that's a medical condition or not, but from the chuckles, somebody might be suffering from it as well. But Brother James, I don't want to suffer from it. You know, I've talked about Psalm 90 and 10 quite often, where it tells us pretty much the parameters of our life on this earth. About 70 or 80 years is what we can expect. And during that time, our strength is labor and sorrow. And the part that really crushes our spirit is where it says that we're soon cut off. And then it gets good again, and we fly away. One day we're going to fly away from this sin-cursed world. But two verses later, it tells us to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I got too much to do to be unproductive. May the Lord give us strength. May the Lord walk with us. He will. He's there. He sticketh closer than a brother. This morning I asked, it's already been mentioned, I beg an interest in your prayer at the time that I stand before you. I've gotten laid before me the 1611 King James translation of God's Word, and what a wonderful gift it is to us. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. You know, I think it was a Wednesday night on our Zoom service, either Brother James or somebody mentioned that verse from, I think it's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. It says that we have, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We know that things on this earth are temporary. They pass away. That's the way this chapter begins. In chapter 5, it says that it came to pass. Now, this morning as I was studying, I was sitting on a deck there at home, and very calm and peaceful in Route 3, Bogachilla. I could hear the doves cooing in the distance, and time to meditate upon God's Word. I saw a billboard one time that says, "Discover buried treasure. Read your Bible." It's not buried. It's right here open before us. And we need to study to show ourselves and approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But you know, in this life, I thought about this morning as I sat there about the ministers of old. And I do pray this morning for Sister Marlene Guthrie and those who mourn the passing of Elder Larry Wise. You know, he was afflicted by the lasting effects of polio in his life. And I thought about yesterday that he's free from those restraints. He's gone on to that upper and better kingdom. And I cherish the times I was able to be in service with Brother Larry. I appreciate so much his studies and his humble spirit. But I thought about those like my great-grandfather, Brother Thee Nettles, who was a pastor of this church many years ago. And he did not have all the things at his fingertips that help us learn more about God's Word that we do now. Brother James and other ministers, I spent a lot of time searching things on my phone, Brother James. And you know, we can benefit from each other, the experiences that each other has had, and we don't have to try to reinvent the wheel. Sister Polly, I found out at school this week, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, at least four consecutive U.S. history teachers at Bogotá School that were outstanding educators. One of them had six state championship rings, and he's a better U.S. history teacher than he is a softball coach. We benefit from the others, but sometimes when you begin to Google search or whatever these things that are scriptural in nature, you got to be careful. But my recommendation to you is to gather the wheat and throw away the chaff. And I'll probably give you one example of that this morning as we move forward. But I told you a moment ago that probably Paul writing to the Hebrews. We don't know that exactly, but more than likely he is the author of Hebrews. Really, God's the author, regardless if we credit Paul, whether or not it came through the Brother Jay mentioned the other night, the pen and the hand of a ready writer, and I paraphrase that, but an instrument of his love. But I told you a moment ago from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, that for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I'm thankful that I realize that this is not my home. That we have a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and one day, one sweet day, our trials in this life will be over. We'll see Jesus Christ face to face. We'll wake in his likeness and be satisfied. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, in that day he'll wipe away all tears from our eyes, and it'll be no more sorrow, neither crying nor pain, for the former things will have passed away. You know that song I selected at the end of service this morning? I love that song, but one little thing may need some tweaking. The only way this is like a little heaven below is this is part, a remnant of the bride of Christ here this morning. I don't think anything on earth can compare to what is waiting us in a place that's called heaven. Sometimes I get frustrated by the things that are out of my control, that I have absolutely no control over. I might have watched 2 minutes of the Olympics this year, maybe 2 minutes. The basketball game was on yesterday at my house as we were rambling around, and I saw just little bits and pieces of just a very little bit of it, but they pretty much kicked me out of the Olympics the first night with the opening ceremony where they, I don't even understand what part that has to play in anything, those world games. Where they depicted in a blasphemous manner the Last Supper, which, you know, we sing a song here at this church, he died, and in that dreadful night, it was a dreadful night for him. There's nothing to make fun of. Friend, I've told you before, as you know, that night he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his sweat fell to the ground as it were great drops of blood. It wasn't blood. Don't get into Gethsemane redemption. Redemption came the next day at Calvary. But you know why he sweat like that? Because he was 100% man. He was 100% God, but he's a 100% man. I saw, and again, I don't want to get into political things this morning. I remember Brother Kerry Latham preaching here a few months back, and he didn't get the whole verse, but he was on a different subject. But I think it's Psalm 48:2. The glory of the whole earth is Mount Zion. And he didn't get the rest of the verse, the city of the great king. We serve King Jesus this morning. It doesn't matter who sits in the Oval Office in the sense of this land, because we know that God, the king, is on the throne. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But you know, I saw some video clips of a women's boxing. I don't know if we need to have women's boxing. That's just my personal opinion. Probably didn't have men's boxing either, but this young lady dropped to her knees and against a questionable opponent, and tears streaming down her face, and you could just see her dreams were shattered. In this life, friends, our dreams may be shattered, but the reality is some sweet day, the Prince of Peace is coming back to get what he paid for with his own precious blood and redeemed unto the Father out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Yeah, too, Brother Joe, this Thursday afternoon, the Bogotilla School, they have a 9-minute break between 6 and 7 period. And I noticed it seemed like the children went in and came went out and came right back in. I said, 9 minutes didn't pass that fast, I know. The word began to circulate about Officer Troy Floyd, who I consider a good friend. He's helped me many, many times in this life. And speaking of good friends, and the man that always call you friend, I didn't ask this morning for prayer, but I asked you to pray for Brother Archie Campbell. He's in St. Dominic Hospital. I can't tell you the times that he's, perhaps this church, I don't know, but I know for a fact that he's done plumbing work at Pickles Rest Church, at Antioch Church, and at my house. He's left my house before. How much I owe you? He said, you don't worry about it. I'll find somebody down the road with more money than you and let them make up the difference. So many things in this life. Fentanyl. I'm tired of hearing young people dying of fentanyl. Heroin overdoses laced with fentanyl. I attended an event not long ago, and my son and my future son-in-law went to hear Tim Tebow speak over in Hattiesburg, and they had a guy to introduce Tim Tebow, and that night he said that 14% of the teenagers in the Pine Belt attend worship services regularly. 14%. That's a scary number. Friends, I see Psalm 33, verse 12. That's another one of my favorite verses. I see the first part mentioned a lot, but not the second part, unless you're at the old Baptist church, and we harp as much on the second part as we do the first part, where it said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's the first part. I think you'd agree with me this morning. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the next part, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. That's sweet. But our nation needs to make sure that the Lord is our Lord. Let's get back to Luke chapter 5 this morning. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to fear the to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, in the Old Testament, you'll find the Gennesaret called the Lake Kinnereth. In the New Testament, you'll find probably at least three terms for it. One is here, Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, and the Lake of Tiberias. So all talking about the same body of water, about 13 miles long, about eight miles wide. The term Gennesaret in Greek means Valley of Riches, the Valley of Riches. Now, I don't have to tell you that a lot of the people in this day and time, in this particular geographic region, made their lives from that sea. The Apostle Peter, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know they were fishermen. And they gained their livelihood from this sea. And they said they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Before I went back, and it was still a little bit, but not, I had to change a little bit. You know, before I went back into the school business, I was a dog sitter. Kept Sister Blaine's golden retriever. And Brooke has one, too, pretty much very similar to it. They're sisters, and I asked Brooke the other day, I said, Brooke, do you find yourself having a silly thought that you wish her dog Emma could talk? She said, Daddy, I do it all the time. I find myself wishing a dog could talk to me. But this sermon I'd have loved to heard as he taught him sitting there in that boat. He thrust out a little bit from the land. He asked Peter, said, you mind if you thrust out a little bit from the land and allow me to teach these people. They were pressing up against him, but what was their desire? To hear the word of God. Oh, that God would grant us that desire, a burning desire to hear the word of God and to go where it's preached in spirit and in truth we trust. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Here the carpenter telling fishermen, commercial fishermen, what to do. You know, and I don't know if I've ever told this story here, but I have ambitions of writing a book or two. I don't know if I ever get out. If I give them a retirement lethargy, I might do it. But one of them is if you ever go in Books of Me and you see a book that says a funny thing happened on the way to the bus, it may have my name on the cover as the author. Brother Randy Myers was a major contributor to stories I've collected, the funny thing that happened in the schoolyard. One thing happened, and as I tell this, I don't say it to embarrass this colleague, because I esteem very highly and have tremendous respect for him. He's having some medical problems now as well, but Coach Theodore Black, military guy, he missed some parts of school because he was deployed to Desert Storm. He was in the Middle East on two different tours of duty in the Middle East. And he coached our boys' basketball team at Boca Chica. And one day we were playing up at the parochial school up at Vicksburg, St. Aloysius, the Catholic school up there. And they have a gym that the arrangement is that everybody sits on the same side. There's only bleachers on one side. And behind the benches, the team benches, is just a cinder block wall. And the scoreboard's up above your head here in a very not convenient position. And most all scoreboards, when you look at them, have home on the left and guest on the right. This one is just reversed, so you can't see it. It's in a different position. And that night, toward the end of the game, I noticed it seemed like that he had a little more sense of urgency. You know, the term in basketball is when you have a lead late in the game to let the air out of the ball. Kind of slow the game down, keep in possession of it as long as you can. If you get fouled, make free throws and clinch the win. I noticed he had his players pushing the ball up the court, and I was wondering, I said, what's he doing that for? Because he probably said, guess me on some things too. And still to this day, I couldn't tell you he was driving the bus that night, because usually I did, but I wasn't driving the bus that night. I was sitting on the second seat. And he was sitting on the second seat directly across from me with his back against the bus windows, and the scorekeeper's right in front of me on that seat. And you know, I forgot who was driving the bus, but we didn't get even got to Vicksburg, I don't think. And I told Coach Black, I said, man, that was a good win tonight. And he said, we didn't win. I looked at him and said, what do you mean we didn't win? He said, we lost the boys' game. I said, no, sir. We won 63-56. He said, Coach, we didn't win. I saw the scoreboard. I said, no, sir, we won. He told the scorekeeper, give me my scorebook. He started looking at it, and he went to kicking his legs and dancing around. And he said, we did win. You know, sometimes in this life, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm losing. Until I read this book. And I realize I'm on the winning side, Brother Hunter. It's already been paid for. I tell you time and time again, I'm kind of like Brother Oscar Easterling. Every sermon he preached was Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Oh, Brother Shane preached Sunday night at Antioch. And he talked about that charge that we have. But then I've told you many times in Job chapter 14, verse 1, there in that book of the Job, he faced great disappointment, didn't he? He told us in 14:1, he said, man who's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's all of us. It's coming. But regardless of what happens in this world today, when good, God-fearing law enforcement officers are taken much too early from this life, the way we look at things in the manner that Troy Floyd was taken Thursday afternoon, friends, it breaks our heart. It shattered my heart when I heard about it. This precious young sister right here, I know, to lose a son-in-law in 2017 in the same manner. Just senseless. But is that the last time it's going to happen? No, it's not. But let's come to the Lord's house and realize, as Coach Black discovered on a bus ride back to Boca Chica, I didn't lose. The 63 was on that side, but it was my side. Let's get back to the scripture here this morning. Sorry about that feedback. Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I know a little bit about that. After we worked all night. Some of you have been in this church a long time. Remember, I don't know that I've missed. I know I had missed many annual meetings here, and I commend this church on everything you did. That was a wonderful weekend. What a wonderful time to be together. But I know when I worked on that shrimp boat down there with Brother Bill Myers' son-in-law, I know I missed the meeting here in the summer. I would find myself in a shrimp boat wondering what they're preaching on. What he's preaching on tonight, whatever elder it was. I wonder who's there. I wonder what they're singing. But I was trying to make money to go to college, and you can only catch shrimp during season. But one thing that my favorite part of shrimping was butterflying. Now they've even changed that since I was worked down there in the early to mid 80s. But you go out there to the Gulf of Mexico, the mouth of where the Gulf of Mexico, those bayous emptying the Gulf of Mexico. You have to get there 3 or 4 days early to hold your spot, and when the tide started going out. You would turn that boat and those nets on both sides. Most of the time, it's just shrimp. Very little cleaning had to be done. But one thing I did not like and was trawling at night. Trawling at night, we would load up with pokey fish. There'd be some shrimp in there, but everything else imaginable. We had a salt barrel there. It had salt water from the Gulf in it, but we had to add salt to it to make it to raise the salinity rate extremely high. And those pokey fish and other things would come to the top. The shrimp desire a high salinity. They would sink to the bottom for the most part. But you had to work fast because it'd be time to pull the net up again. And we had hydraulics. We had hydraulics to pull that net up when we were out there. Simon answering and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Sometime in this life, we're going to face disappointment. I think about when Moses was called up to the top of Mount Sinai and stayed there for 40 days with God himself. And during that time he was gone, he came down that mountain, and the ones that God had led so amazingly out of Egyptian bondage were there, and he was bringing the law. He was bringing the Ten Commandments down the mountain. He got to the foot of the mountain. What were they doing? They were worshiping a golden calf. His brother, Aaron. You think Moses loved Aaron? I know he did. That was his natural brother. Not only his brother in spirit, that was his natural brother. He loved Miriam. Whose big sister who took care of him. Lots of our families have those big sisters that just kind of look out for the rest of us. My generation and my children's generation are no exception. Sister Debbie Smith looks out for me and her family. Sister Blaine looks out for us. Not to single them out. I'm not here to praise them. I do give thanks to God for them, though. Because every good blessing is from Him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. But they said we had toiled all night. They were tired. They were ready to go home to their families. Or the ones that had families. We know Peter was married because he healed his mother-in-law, didn't he? They're ready to go home to their families. But the Lord said, no. Launch out in the deep. Go out in the deeper waters and prepare for a drought. Cast the net one more time and see. Sometimes in life we feel like giving up. Sometimes we feel like we're losing. But I can unequivocally say this morning to all of you that as far as in the spiritual realm, the battle's already been fought. During my free period, I sit there sometimes and listen to K-Love. And I was gonna bring it up here and read a little bit from it this morning, but I left my phone over there. I think the song is because it's by Casting Crowns called "It's All Because of Mercy." I encourage you to go home and Google that song and listen to it. If you have that capability, it's all because of mercy. Can't earn it. Friends, it was a free gift. But as we've heard Brother Ricky Harcroft say on more than one occasion, Brother Doug, salvation's free, but it wasn't cheap. That price was extremely high. And there was only one way it could be satisfied. The blood of the Lamb of God. Go over to John chapter 21. As Yogi Berra used to say, here it is, it's deja vu all over again. In John chapter 21, we have a very similar setting. The Apostle Peter, look at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. And they were telling who was there with Jesus Christ, and Peter says, I'm going fishing. So the group is with him, Thomas, that is called Didymus, the twin. A lot of people refer to him as Doubting Thomas, but you've heard me say many times before, I think Doubting Thomas gets an unfair rap. Because you're looking at Doubting Mickey this morning. Because sometimes even though we're winning, sometimes I feel like I'm losing. Don't doubt, friends. Don't doubt. We're on the winning side. We're victorious. But here they are. They got Thomas, which is called Didymus, and Doubting Thomas is there with them. Nathaniel from Cana of Galilee. The two sons of Zebedee, who is, of course, James and John, and two other disciples. And they said, we'll go with you. Seven disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ, going to go fishing together. This morning I looked at that, looked in this book, let's Worship the King, Brother James had a role in editing that and publishing it and so forth. And I looked in there, I know it's in the Primitive Baptist Hymnal, a song called "Come and Dine." I was going to select that this morning, but it's not in this book. But these seven went fishing. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to him, "I go a-fishing." They said to him, "We also will go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Sound familiar? But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. In this book we have a lot of instructions that God the Father has left for us, the examples that Jesus Christ said, the things he told us to do. We need to adhere to God's holy word and trust in him. Put our trust and confidence solely in the things. Because everything he promised us, the Bible says he promised us eternal life. It said God who cannot lie. Promised us eternal life when? Before the world began. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. He did that before the foundation of the world. He's... chosen us in the covenant of grace, and the world would say, you know, that's just not fair. It's not fair that, well, it's really not fair that he chose me. I'm not worthy of the least of his mercies. But I'm thankful that I believe in my heart that one day I will behold him face to face. And we will ascend into that upper and better kingdom, as Brother David Guthrie's done and Brother Larry Wise. I'm tired of hearing those things. I pray the Lord will call ministers into his service that are the most able ministers that's been in our area. That I'll preach those who serve our churches now and have in days past and gone. Our job is to, I don't know if we call it a job, Brother James. It's not a job. It's a calling, I trust. Our calling is to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep of God's pasture. May God deliver us in that call that we trust will go until we leave this old world. I thought about Brother Larry Wise yesterday. I had a meeting at Duck Hill, the church up there. I got word about 11 something that Brother Larry had chest pains and had to be, taken to the hospital. I got a text message about 2 o'clock saying he had passed away from this life. Some of these ministers we talk about have stayed in our homes. Some of them preach in our churches. And when we stop and think about the reality that we won't hear them preach again, at least in person, it humbles us. I'll give this example. In keeping the wheat and throwing away the chaff. This morning I was, again, sitting out on my deck, and I Googled lessons from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Some different things came up. I began to read through it, and one guy on there had some good points. I don't even know what denomination he was. I didn't, but a lot of things he said was good. But one thing he said, you know, when the Lord back in Luke chapter 5 had told them to go out a little further in the deep. I know you toiled on it. I know you're tired. I know you're disappointed. I know you're frustrated. I know it's empty. You know what they can do with two things they can't do when they don't catch fish? What are they out there for? Provide meal for their home and a living for their family. When you don't catch anything, you don't have anything to sell, there's no monetary exchange right there. But then when he went out into the deep, this minister had on his little log there, a little post that I read, that he said, I could visualize this being in a real movie and see the camera panning back toward Jesus Christ and him standing there with a smirky grin on his face. That's chaff. Throw it away. I looked up smirk, and it says to smile with an irritatingly smug, conceited, or silly look. Like, man, you were doing good. And I tell you this, I'm talking to every single one of the sound of my voice. I mentioned this Wednesday night on our Zoom service. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for the battle? If Brother Mickey gives something that makes an uncertain sound, I'm begging you with every fiber of my being to come to me after church in a very gentle spirit and show me the error of my ways. I don't want to feed you with something that doesn't give glory to the source of that feed and that won't benefit you in this present world. I read that like, really? That would be Hollywood, all right. But it's not the Jesus Christ I know. He don't know anything about smirk. I believe when he looked upon him, Brother Danny, he said, I sent you out into the deep waters to get fish because I love you. I love you. I know you've toiled all night and you've caught nothing. I know you're disappointed. I know you're frustrated. Most of you in the sound of my voice this morning have some problem in life that you can't fix alone. I know Sister Eudora prays every single day for Brother Jeff Evans. Not a day passes by. He's 2 years younger than me. Lord God, help him. Strengthen him. Let me finish with this morning. This time, those seven that I mentioned earlier went fishing. They toiled all night and caught nothing. As I told you earlier, Yogi Berra used to say, it's a deja vu all over again. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? Have you caught any fish? And they answered him, no. He said unto them this time, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Sound like a similar situation as Luke chapter 5. They didn't recognize him. He was on the shore, and the Bible says they were about 200 cubits, I think it said, which would be 300 feet. They were about 100 yards from the shore, and they couldn't recognize him on the shoreline, standing on the Sea of Galilee. But as they began to catch those fish, it said the disciple whom Jesus Christ loved, refers to John, one of those sons of Zebedee. Remember, James is beheaded. John, they speculated about his death, but as far as I know. But John was probably Jesus Christ's best friend upon the earth. Peter, James, and John got to see things that others didn't get to see. And he said, the disciple whom he loveth, what did John say? Look what he said in verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. The times in your life, friends, where you've caught a multitude of fishes, I'm not just talking about the one like Brother Hunter and his group brought for out here at the fish fry. I'm talking about the blessings in your life. When the net broke. There have been times in my life where the net broke because of the level of abundancy that Jesus Christ and God the Father blessed me. And John looked at Peter and said, it is the Lord. This is a God thing. You ever hear anybody say that? It was a God thing. Thursday afternoon, one of the mamas in our school, who's close in the flesh to Mr. Troy Floyd. I think his mama and her grandma were sisters, I believe. I don't exact connection, but their hearts were broken. She checked her son out of my class to go and be together as family. And she was coming through the parent pickup line, and she was going down there by herself, because her husband was en route to come and so they could go together. And when you're facing heartbreaking tasks in life, you need your help meet with you. And her car stalled in the parent pickup line. Wouldn't go in forward, wouldn't drive, wouldn't go in reverse, couldn't move it. They were having to orchestrate all, they redirect the traffic all around her. And they had some at Mike Wiley Honda check it out, and they said, nothing wrong with it. You say that providential? I say very possibly. Very possibly. She might have needed to wait for her husband. And sometimes in our life, when things get unraveled, we need to wait for our husband. He's close. He's just a short distance away. As a matter of fact, as they began to go this 200 cubits, 300 feet, 100 yards back to the shore, what did they see? Look what they saw. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saying to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saying to them, come and dine. They'd been toiling all night, caught nothing. He told them to cast your net on the right side and try one more time. When these brothers go hand grabbing and they head back to their truck, they have to take those home, and there's a lot of work to do before they prepared for a meal. These brothers, when they got to the shore, the Son of God had bread and fish upon the fire. And he told them to come and dine. Friends, I can tell you, I close this morning, we have no continuing city here on earth. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So until that time comes, I can go ahead and tell you right now, you're going to face adversity in this life. You're going to face hardship. John said in 16:33, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. From the time the horn sounded in Vicksburg to the time we got about a mile or so into the Vicksburg, downtown Vicksburg area, there on, I-20 maybe, my good friend thought he had lost. He thought his team had lost the game. Until he discovered that he won. I trust it's been a benefit to you. It's a beautiful subject to me, Brother James. When something good happens in your life, you can look to your best friend and say, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. May God bless you is my prayer this morning.